Good morning, everyone. Stand back a bit, maybe. Welcome again to Trinity. Is that better? Welcome again to Trinity on this, the first Sunday of Advent. You're all very welcome. A special welcome to any visitors that we have with us. I know there are at least a couple of visitors that I've not seen in here before. So it's lovely to have you all here. Please join us for a cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit in the cafe out the back after the service. Really hope and pray that you'll all feel God's presence here today, that you'll feel the touch of the Holy Spirit as we celebrate the start of the Christmas season. Christmas is about Jesus, and we really hope that you will all feel that you've met with him here this morning. I haven't been given any announcements. Neil's going to do those later, but I've been asked just now to highlight a couple of wee things. So rather than landing them on him whenever he comes up, I'll very quickly speak. The communications team have been advised to tell everybody that you have to meet in the quiet room after the service, whoever that is. And also the Operation Christmas Child. A lot of you have seen shoeboxes sitting at the front of our church here and our church in Clochy. Norma would just like to thank everyone for their support and their contributions and donations towards the shoebox appeal. It's coordinated by Samaritan's Purse. They call it Operation Christmas Child. This year's appeal saw us donate 102 shoeboxes, which is slightly down from last year, but we collected £616, which is up from last year, towards the cost of transport and shipping. These boxes were delivered to the County Down distribution point at Ballycrocken Presbyterian Church. With God's blessing, 2,913 shoeboxes, which is well up on last year, were sent on their way on the 24th of November for distribution in Albania to those children still suffering from local conflict. Other boxes are also being distributed throughout Eastern Europe. So thank you very much, everybody that had anything to do with that. The total from Northern Ireland is expected to be around 40,000, which is just amazing. If you think of the number of children, that will just help brighten their Christmas a wee bit. So thank you very much, everyone, for that. As I said at the start, this is the first Sunday in Advent. The days are short and dark. The nights are long and dark. But let's now all focus on... Yes! Let's all focus now on the light of the world, our Jesus, who came to us just like a wee baby, the one who can help us find our way out of the winter of spiritual darkness and into the warmth and light of his love. I'm just going to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our first hymn. Have we got singers? Yeah, we're happy enough? We're ready? Dead on. First hymn's going to be Even So Come. And I'm going to be
for the Lord. Jesus is coming. your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for a king, we
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, our God, the one to whom we are forever in debt for what you give us and what you have done for us, and yet, Lord, the one who will never recall that debt from us, who has paid that debt with the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus on the cross, who came among us in total humility with all the frailty of a human baby to grow up and be mistreated, abused and murdered so that we can have the relationship with you that you created us for. We thank you for this day, for every breath we take and every beat of our hearts. We want to worship you. We want to bow before you in submission and humility. And then we want to lift up our voices and praise you with every cell in our bodies. We want the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts to be totally acceptable to you. You are perfection. You are love. You are all that is good. So perfect that you're beyond our understanding. Lord, we pray that our worship will be heard in the street and in the heavens. And yet, Lord, we are aware of the hypocrisy in our requests. We are weak human beings. Compared with your perfection, imperfect doesn't even come close to describing our condition. We are mean, greedy, proud, spiteful. We have hurt you and added to this hurt by hurting each other. In a moment of silence now, individually, we ask you to lay on each of our hearts some wrong that we have done this week. and we pray for your forgiveness and for the grace to try and make up for it. And Lord, as a people, we ask your forgiveness now as we complain about the cost of Christmas when some can't even celebrate it, when mothers are leaving their babies in a hole in the wall, when people will spend Christmas on the footpath, when some couldn't buy food even if they had the money. Father, we ask for your forgiveness, however undeserving, for complaining too much and not doing enough. And now, Lord, as we leave these things at the foot of the cross, we ask that you would come into this building with us. And not just this building, Lord, but every single place where people are meeting to worship you. We invite you into our church, into our minds, and into our hearts. Lord, be with everyone who takes part in this service today. Let all of our deeds be not about glorifying ourselves, but about glorifying you. Fill us with your Spirit. Convict us of our failures. Spur us on to do better. Speak to us. Minister to us. Counsel us that we would go home feeling renewed, feeling energized, singing about a baby Jesus rather than mistletoe and wine, and thinking more about giving than receiving. Come among us now. We welcome you, Jesus. Come into this place and have fellowship with us, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you out in God's house this morning. It's lovely to see the church so beautifully decorated. And we're going to decorate under the tree now. I want to take this opportunity to invite the boys and girls now. We've done this down in Clochy. And I realised I was starting going, there's 95 people in Clochy this morning. I was going, that's an awful lot of gifts under that tree. I wonder if there's any left. And there wasn't. There was just one. So they had them all in below the tree before we started. So I think the boys and girls have got some. So I'm going to come down and we're going to put the gifts under the tree. Then you're going to go back to your mummies and daddies, wherever you're sitting. And then I'm going to come to God's word and read a wee bit for us. So come on ahead, boys and girls. I've got 6 beautiful assistants to help me. Good man, thank you. There you go. Get them packed on there, girls, somewhere. Good man. That is great, thank you. Wow. Oh, there's two here. Brilliant. Cool. That's great, thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's a heavy one. Thank you very much. Good man. Oh. Have it. It's time. Well done. Oh. Thank you very much. Oh, get your finger out. Oh, he's a wee thing. Oh, wait a seat. There we go. Good girl. Oh, good man. Is that hat coming too? Oh, it's gloves. Good job. There we go. Good man. Oh, he's not quite. He's not handing over. Whoa. Just throwing them at me. Go. Is that them all now? Just make sure Haley's back out of there again. They haven't built Haley in, that's excellent. Great stuff. I want to invite you now to turn with me to John's Gospel. And I was sort of just thinking, one or 2 minutes, just as we have given these gifts under the tree, I was thinking this morning before I come out of the house about gifts and God's gifts to us. And if you go and you read through the Bible, you'll read about different gifts that God gives us. God gives us the gift Jesus Christ. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. So God sent his Son at Christmas. That was just the first part of this big, amazing gift. The second part was that Jesus came to give us salvation. So salvation is also a gift from God because Jesus was the gift that came from heaven down to earth. And when we have that gift of salvation, when we get the gift of salvation, we actually get two gifts in one because we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are all things that the Bible tells us about gifts that God gives us. Then when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, that's not even over because the Holy Spirit then gives us gifts of abilities and talents and gifts of wisdom and understanding. So God gives us lots of gifts at Christmas. And I wondered, what would it be like for us? We have just given gifts and we've put them below the tree. Now, I don't know who gave this gift. I didn't see it going under the tree. But imagine if you've went out and you purchased a gift with your own money, and you've brought that gift to this church this morning, and it's been going in below the tree, and later on that gift will go into the back of Ronald's van. Ronald doesn't know that I'm getting his van yet, but Ronald, I'll be getting your van tomorrow, and we'll be taking all of these gifts up to the Belfast City Mission, and they will organize them, and I think this is a girl's gift. So imagine if they took this gift out to somebody's home, and the wee girl went, I don't want it. Keep your old gift. And then Belfast City Mission phoned me up and said, here, Neil, some of these gifts, people didn't want them, and I had to bring them back. And imagine I come back here in a couple of Sundays' time, and I said to you, you know all those gifts that we gave for under the tree? They've sent them back. How would that make us feel? It wouldn't make us feel very happy, would it? Now, we're going to read from God's Word in John chapter 3, and then we'll see what it's like whenever gifts are not received. So John chapter 3, reading from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who had come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? But no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Amen. And in this big passage with that most famous verse, God is saying that I have sent my Son as a gift, but some people choose to reject the gift that I have given you. Now, if somebody was to reject our gift, we would be unhappy about that. So we want you all to be pleasing God this Christmas. I know many in this room are pleasing God already because you've accepted the gift that is Jesus Christ. But if you're here today and you have not accepted that gift, we encourage you to think about what God has done. We're going to be singing about it. And a little while, some of the girls down here are going to be coming up and sharing with us what God has been doing through their life in the last year during the summer as they served God. We're going to be singing about Jesus. We're going to be taking time to think about him and what he's doing in the world. And we encourage you to have Jesus in your life this Christmas. That is the greatest gift that you can receive. Now, we're going to sing our first Christmas song of the year, and we're going to sing Joy to the World. And when we've sung this piece, Kathy is going to come up and lead us in our prayers of intercession, and then Kathy is going to announce the offering. All right, Kathy? Kathy didn't know that. Kathy's going to announce the offering at the end of those prayers. Let's all stand together and sing Joy to the World.
These are just our prayers for others this morning. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for the season of Advent, when we think about your gift to us this Christmas time. Thank you that even though we are disobedient and selfish, that you love us so much that you sent Jesus into the world to show us how we should live. Thank you that Jesus died for us so that we can have the gift of forgiveness and live our lives for you. Thank you that when we accept your gift of forgiveness and trust you, that we can spend eternity with you. Lord, we're sorry that we're selfish and we disobey your command to put you first in our lives and to love others as much as we love ourselves. We're sorry that already we're thinking more about what we can get for Christmas or what we will give, rather than thinking about your gift to us. Help us to love you first, to love others by putting their needs before our own. We pray for the families who will receive the presents that we have brought today. We pray that the Belfast City Mission who distribute them will put the right presents in the best hands, and that families who don't have as much as we do will be blessed and encouraged by the love and generosity of those who gave them. We pray for other organisations who work tirelessly at Christmas to help those who are sad and lonely, for those who work with the homeless, the elderly, vulnerable adults and children, and for poor families who don't have any money to buy food or presents. Bless the work of these organisations like Stand By Me, Tear Fund, and the Food Bank, and bless them for their faithfulness to you. We pray that at this season of giving, that we will be generous and share some of what you have blessed us with to help others where we can. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us throughout the rest of the service. Be with those who will speak from the pulpit and lead us in praise as they share their experience of your faithfulness in their life. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now our offering will be received.
Let's pray together. Lord, in our act of offering, sometimes we call these our gifts and our offerings. And then, Lord, there is a sense that we are giving gifts of our offering today, but really, Lord, what we're giving is what really is yours in the first place. You have given us an abundance. You have showered us with blessing upon blessing. And Lord, we are able to give this offering back to you today. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in this way. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless this, our offering, that it would bring people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in places that we cannot go, with people that we cannot meet. But also, Lord, it would enable us to be the light of the world here in this village of Grey Abbey and the surrounding area, on the corner at the roundabout where you have placed us. Lord, may we shine brightly the light of salvation, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that people would come to know Jesus as Savior this Christmas time. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. We're just going to take a moment or two now for our announcements this morning, and it is with sadness that our first announcement this morning is about a death in the congregation. Today we announce the death of Karen Kelly from Strangford View. Karen passed away suddenly while in hospital. Karen had been living with cancer for a number of years, but on Thursday, sadly, her journey on life ended. Our thoughts and prayers are with her sons, Nathan and Aaron, and indeed our prayers go out to her mum, Gloria, and then also to her sister, who is also named Gloria, and her brothers, David, Lyle, and Mark. Karen's funeral will be here on Tuesday at 2 p.m., and we will then lay Karen's body to rest in Grey Abbey Cemetery at 3 p.m. Let's take a moment just and remember this family at this time. Lord God, as we think of the great gifts of Christmas, the whole celebration of Christmas, Lord, we realize there's a family who will be mourning this Christmas. And we pray for them, Lord. We pray especially for Karen's sons, Nathan and Aaron, at the loss of their mother. Lord, we just pray that you would surround them with your love and care through their family and friends and those who are caring for them. And we pray especially for Karen's mum, Gloria. Lord, we understand this to be the unnatural way of things to happen. So, Lord, just surround this woman with your presence. And for Karen's siblings and for their families, the wider extended family circle and Karen's friends, we just ask, Lord, that you'll be with them in the days and the weeks, the months that lie ahead. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One or two other announcements this morning. We do like to distribute Christmas cards around the village. And while the Christmas cards haven't just arrived yet, we're hoping and praying they'll be here this week. If you would like to help out in distributing those, if you could take a pack that you could deliver in around your cul-de-sac or up part of the street where you live, please speak to George after the service. He'll take your name and a contact detail. And as soon as the cards come in, George will speak to you and we'll try and get those distributed this week, God willing. So there's one prayer request, that the cards will arrive. That would be the first prayer request for Christmas this year. Then Christmas is approaching, and on Friday the 7th, we will light the lights on the Christmas tree outside, along with the community association. And we're going to sing a couple of carols around the tree. And we would just like a number of people from the congregation to be there, just to help bring a voice, to help lead the community in a couple of very well-known, simple pieces. You know, if you like singing in church on a Sunday, then please come along on Friday night. 6:30, the Christmas trail will start up at the War Memorial with a short play about how love came at Christmas. And then everyone's going to come down as we light the Christmas tree in the front of the church here around 7 o'clock. So if you would like to come along, we're going to have our choir will be there, hopefully all who are available. But if you would just like to come along to help support that singing as we share the good news through the Christmas carols with the people of the village, we would love to see you there. If you are going to be there, please speak to me or speak to Ruth so that we have an idea of the numbers that are going to be there. That would be great. And then on Thursday night, we interviewed three applicants for the community outreach workers post for the revitalization mission in Clocky. And we're delighted to announce this morning that we have asked a lady called Michelle Stewart, no relation, other than she's my sister in Christ, but there's no blood relation that we know of, to come and fill that post, and she was happy to take that invitation. So we are hoping to commission Michelle the first or second Sunday in January, and she will begin that work, albeit on a part-time basis. She's just finishing off her degree at the moment, but she will begin that work in January, and then when she finishes her degree, she will go into the 30 hours a week. So we are delighted, folks. We're thankful for your prayers in the process. God was very clear to us as session as we brought that process down, as we thought of the questions, as we received the answers. A smaller group of us interviewed along with Barbara for that post, and it was very clear to us that God has revealed his will. So we're just delighted that this mission is continuing in this way. So continue to pray for all that we do in Clocky and for Michelle and for her preparations. And you'll hear a little bit more about that later on. Now, that was Christmas, as sort of a few announcements there, one for January. And now I want to make an announcement for April 2019. And you're going, April 2019? Look, you're going, what? I haven't even got Christmas sorted out yet. But we want to announce to you this morning that the Abana Children's Choir are coming to Northern Ireland in April, and we are going to host them for a concert on Friday the 5th of April. And to do that, we will need people to open up their homes to provide accommodation for the children and for their chaperones. But we'll get to that a little bit later in the year, or a little bit earlier in 2019, closer to the time. But now, at this moment in time, Abana have asked us to show a little video which explains another need that the children have, and that's for chaperones, people to be with the children for the 2 weeks or so that they're here in April. And we're going to play the little video, and then I'm going to say just one or two other things about that. So.
In February 2019, We are going to travel to many towns. We will visit many churches and schools.
We will sing and dance
and share about Uganda.
We want to find sponsors for our friends,
but we need people to look after us
and help us have fun.
We call them aunties and uncles.
They help in the concerts.
We sell and lies.
They sell CDs and merchandise.
And drag us on tour.
They teach us to read and write.
And learn about Jesus.
They help keep us safe
and love us.
Will you be one of our chaperones?
So I have a couple of leaflets that I'll have at the front door. I've just printed out a few. I've only maybe two left. If you would like to consider or explore being a chaperone, now that's not someone who's going to have the children in your house for one night. That's you're going to travel with the children and take care of them. You will go and stay in other towns and other people's homes with the kids and look after them. If you would like to consider that or find out more about that, come and speak to me after the service. I've got only two sheets left, but I can email you a link to that if you would like to consider that service later on in the year. I think that is all now by way of announcement. There's one other thing, sorry. On Friday, the Community Association are running an Ulster Scots afternoon, just a fellowship, a time of fellowship, and a meal, and it's free for now senior members, pensioners. So it's a ticketed event. It's limited to 80 people, just so that we can get them into our hall. It's going to be in our hall at 2 o'clock. If you would like a ticket for that, the tickets are available at Angus Farm Shop and in the Vivo. Now, I'm pretty sure you don't have to show your bus pass or any form of identification, and will not be sort of taking blood tests or DNA tests to make sure you are a certain age or you won't get in. But if you would like to go to that or bring someone with you, please go and get your tickets. There are only 80 tickets. Numbers are limited, but it is free. And there's going to be some yarns, a little bit of Ulster Scots music, and some good food. It's our ladies of the congregation who are providing the food there. So if you're a pensioner, senior member of the village, please get your tickets. Put that date in your diary for next Friday. Now, I'm going to invite Zara and Emily to come up to the pulpit, and they're going to share with us their work. And they're going to announce a hymn, and then after that, Haley and Alex will come up and share about their work and announce a hymn for us. So thank you, ladies.
Good morning, everyone. So over the summer, Emmy and I, we both volunteered at different Scripture Union camps. I'm sure most of you have heard of Scripture Union. Basically, it's an organisation that works in schools and organises camps over throughout the year to share the good news of Christ with kids and young people all across Northern Ireland. So I volunteered at one of these camps, Kilbrony Girls Adventure Camp. This was a week-long camp for girls between 12 and 15. It was down in Ross Trevor at the Kilbrony Activity Centre. It's just a photo of the 11 leaders. It was quite a young team this year. We were all about university age. Camp was also a lot smaller than previous years, as we only had 14 campers. However, looking back, this was a true blessing. Right up to a month before, we were faced with having to cancel due to a lack of numbers. However, we continued to plan in faith that God would provide the campers he wanted to be there and camp would be how he wanted it to be. And that's exactly what he did. He answered our prayers, and this reminded us that God's timing is perfect. Camp and camp ran completely in his strength and not in ours. So having a smaller number of girls, it really allowed us to build relationships with them, and the whole week we knew God's hand was over everything that went on. So the week was a busy one. Mornings began bright and early with a lovely sprinkling from the garden hose. Every morning at breakfast we then had a thought for the day based on a beatitude. Mornings then were quiet times and Bible studies, and then the fun began in the mornings and afternoons. So we had a day out in Newcastle where we did Hunt the Leader. There was also canoeing and bouldering in the morns, and we had a games day that turned into a water fight as well. There was also craft and of course a shopping trip. Then in the evenings we did worship and talks. We did our talks based on issues that we thought would be relevant to the girls. We did things like teaching them how to pray and finding their identity in Christ. The day finished with dorm times, which for me was probably my favourite part of the day. It was such a special time where we as leaders just got to chill and have conversations with our dorms. We had the most amazing conversations with the girls and they went on to the wee hours of the morning. So our theme for camp was Imperfect Made Perfect, and it was based on Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, which is on page 1132 of the Pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. It's also on the stream. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we chose this reading to base our message for camp, as in today's society, I think teenage girls face an increasing pressure to meet an unrealistic level of perfection. But it's not just teenage girls who feel this pressure. I think that we all do in some stage, not just in our everyday lives, but also in our faith. Pressure to live up to Christian ideals, which we often all fall short. However, this passage reminds us that God sees our imperfections, but he loves us perfectly. He sent Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. And through Jesus' sacrifice, we were made perfect in God's eyes. So it's not what we do or who we are, but it's through what Jesus did and who he is.
Okay, so over the summer, I went to Scripture Union It's Your Move Camp, and part of that was then Donica D. Sism. So on the 21st July, I packed my bags and headed off to Castlewell and Castle, my home for the next week or so I thought. Little did I know what God had in store for me, the friends I would meet, and the memories that I would make. When I arrived, I was met with lots of smiling faces, my hoodie and my welcome pack complete with my favourite bar of chocolate. It's Your Move Camp is a bit different from any other of SU camps, as from Saturday to Monday, 50 or so learner leaders, complete with our L plates, learned how to run camps and SISMs. We were guided through everything from cool ways to teach Bible stories and games to a 2-hour kids worship workshop, which was quite a workout, as 100% apparently wasn't good enough. We also did some team building games, which included laser tag, toilet roll catwalk, where we designed some wonderful toilet roll dresses, and a very competitive team challenges, which are a wee bit like what we had at Holy Bible Club as leaders challenges, only I really do not know where they got these ones from. On the Tuesday, 14 others and I, 11 of which were girls, headed for Donica D, where we spent the next 5 days. We stayed in Shore Street Presbyterian Church, which was our base. In our teams, we spent time preparing for our leading time. Our Bible verse for the week was Luke chapter 19, verse 10, which is, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost," which we managed to fit into the tune of Will Griggs on Fire with actions, of course. This really helped to interact with all ages, as we worked with P1 to P3 in the morning, P4 to P7 in the afternoon, and P7 to year 10 in the evening. SISM was one of the most fun-filled yet tiring weeks, and I learned that I can just survive off a few hours sleep, 2-minute showers are definitely not my strong point, and that everyone can play their part using their gifts to work for God. I was originally meant to be staying on at Castlewell the whole week to help with a P7 camp, but I really felt God was telling me I should go to Donica D with the SISM team. After praying about it, I really felt that everything was pointing towards the SISM. I approached the leader in charge and they said that there was one more seat on the bus. That seat was meant for me. On Tuesday morning, I got this Christian encouragement on my phone, which I get through an app, and it said, "If you don't fully obey what God is telling you to do, you will never move beyond your current situation." I just thought this was incredible as I was packing my things up to go to SISM. It was my final pointer that I was doing what God wanted me to do. as I was going beyond my comfort zone going to SISM, as I have been to a few SU camps before and I felt comfortable in that role. I knew what to do and how everything was. But God doesn't just want us to be comfortable. He wants us to go beyond that, to take a risk and to fully rely on him. And that's what I had to do, was to fully rely on him. I really encourage anyone to go on an SU camp or a SISM as a camper or as a leader. Even if that would mean stepping out of your comfort zone, all I would say is trust God and fully rely on him to equip you. You can apply from January onwards, and hopefully there'll be some posters and booklets around the church which will give you more information. And if in doubt, come speak to Zara or myself or any of the other girls about their CEF camps later on. We're now going to sing the song, What a Beautiful Name.
You were the word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High, in glory in creation, now revealed in you, O Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name.
Hello. Just go try and turn this on. So Hayley and I both did work with CEF over the summer, and we have been doing work with them for a couple of years. So CEF stands for Child Evangelism Fellowship, and what they do is they go into schools and they take assemblies, and they also run different camps in lots of different areas and different five-day clubs as well, which Hayley's going to talk about later. So this year I did a camp in Kilkeale for the first time ever, actually, and anyone who knows me knows that I love working with little kids, but kind of teenagers scare me a little bit. But I kind of felt called to do a teen camp in Kilkeale. So it was for boys and girls aged 14 to 18, and it was a huge camp. There was about 100 under 18s and about, I think it was about 28 over people over 20 to be leaders. So it was a crazy camp, but it was really good. So I have some photos, I think. There we go. Oh, right, so this photo is from, so this is towards the end of the camp, and we were all exhausted. Our little group, there was 10 people in our dorm, and one of the girls came off the bus one day. We were in Newcastle, and she came off the bus and she goes, Alex, I have a surprise for you. And I was like, oh, brilliant. Maybe it's a bar of chocolate. Maybe they're going to go to bed early tonight. But no, you might be able to see from the photo, the surprise was a fish that they bought us. So for the last couple of days of camp, we had a fish. And to make things worse, we actually had another fish because another girl decided to buy one too. So yeah, let me see. This is from our ninja training night. So these are four of our leaders, and they all dressed up. So our leaders dressed up and hid around Kilkeale. And then we were all in groups, and we had to go and try and find the leaders and take selfies with them. And then we also had different challenges to do. So one of them was to do a dance to our theme song in a public place. So ours did it in the middle of Tesco, which was very fun. And also to convince a stranger that you are a ninja champion. So yeah, it was really fun, like just doing stupid activities like that around Kilkeale. And this is a photo from our Hawaiian night, which was just a really, really chilled out night. And these are most of the girl leaders. And then there was quite a few boys who aren't in the photo. But along with doing all these great activities and stupid things that we did during the day, the main sort of part of camp was the teaching. So we had a meeting just before lunchtime for about an hour, and we were doing the story of Gideon from the book of Judges, and we were just going through that chapter by chapter throughout. But I think my favourite sort of time of the day was in the evening times. We had a meeting, and it was only about half an hour, maybe an hour long, and what we were just doing is like a praise sort of thing. And CEF have praise books, and they're really good, but they have a mixture of songs. So there's some more modern songs like A Beautiful Name, but then there's also some more old-fashioned hymns. And it was just so lovely just seeing the young people just wanting to praise. They just put their hands up sort of after one song and just called out the number of the next one, and just seeing them picking like old-fashioned hymns that just had such powerful words and meaning to it was amazing. And then we also had devotion time in the evenings, so just before we went to bed. And the devotion time is just time in our small group. So myself and the other leader with our 10 girls in our dorm. And it was so great just to open up to each other and to just open up about struggles that they're facing. They were aged 14 to 16, our girls. So like we weren't that much older, and it was just so good to kind of connect with them. And we were sort of asked to end on a reflection or an encouragement or something. And this one thing kind of kept coming back to me, and it was actually what one of the girls said in our group. And you might, hopefully you'll be able to see that. But it says, what if you woke up today with only the things you thank God for yesterday? And this was what one of the girls actually said to us in our dorm. We were talking about sort of being grateful and using God's gifts. And she said she heard this quote and she shared it with us. And all of us kind of sat quiet when she said it, and then we were all very honest, and we just sat there and we're like, well, we'll not wake up with very much today. And I think it's just a reminder for us just to be so thankful for what God has given us, especially today when we're thinking about people who have done mission work and also giving to others, like putting the presents underneath the Christmas tree. So yeah, that's what I want to finish on. Just remember just to be thankful and just give our gifts to God. I'll pass on to Hayley now.
So as Alex said, I'm going to do a wee bit of a talk on 5 Day Club. 5 Day Club, as some of you may have known or heard about before, this has been its fourth year of running, and it's taken place in six different areas in the peninsula. So Clocky and Portavogie, Ballyhalbert and Kirkcaldy, Grey Abbey and Ballywalter. And this has seen over 100 children being evangelised to and have heard the gospel. 5 Day Clubs, for those of you that don't know, is something similar to a Good News Club. So in terms of there's Bible lessons, memory verses, quizzes, songs, courses, different things like that, and games, of course. However, 5 Day Clubs occur outside in an open space, rain, hail, sleet or snow. We sit on black mats, which you can't really see, let's see. You can sort of see the corner of the black mat in that one there. But basically we sit on them, even if the grass is wet, the children just sit. And then if it is raining, then we just put the black mat sort of over their head as well. The issue is whenever there's a lot of kids, you know, and we're standing, there's not enough room even, so they just get soaked. But I mean, that's okay. And again, the thing is, and I said this in Clocky, and I do want to take this opportunity to thank the parents that have sent their children along the 5 Day Club. We really, really appreciate it. We have seen over 20 leaders this year helping, and it's such an encouragement whenever people support us in doing God's work. But also the thing about 5 Day Clubs is it reaches the people who have never heard of Jesus before. It reaches people who their parents maybe have never brought them to church. They're maybe out playing and then they hear us singing this song like called Good News, where people are screaming extra and they're like, what on earth is going on over there? Like, and they come in and, you know, they get to hear about Jesus, and that's really our prayer. And really, that's the thing about 5 Day Club. Like, we know that even if it's only for 4 days or if it's for 5 days, we know that those 100 children have walked away knowing who Jesus is, knowing that he died for them and that he loved them. So this is Blair. He's doing a Bible lesson. He's absolutely incredible. Basically, the way it worked was there was three teams, and the three teams did two clubs. And then this is Hannah Courtney and Lewis teaching a chorus and singing along with the chorus. And this is Ben and Robbie Thompson. Again, I think doing actions to a chorus, I presume. And this is just an example of, you know, them sitting on the mats and how many kids there are. And this is, again, like, as people are driving by, this is what they're seeing, like, just this mass amount of children, and people begin to ask questions and wonder what's going on in the community. And again, like all the other girls, sort of God had given me a bit of an encouragement that he wanted me to share. And to be honest, whenever God gave it to me, I was like, are you serious? Because I'm going to be standing up here like a pure hypocrite, you know, trying to even put this message across. And again, I said the same thing in Clocky, like, be mindful that whenever I'm preaching this to you, I'm preaching it to myself. What God gave me was take up my cross. And I guess what he's trying to say there is believe in me, trust in the cross, like know that Jesus died for you and that he loved you. And essentially, I guess, become a Christian. You know, that's the first step. And that can happen inside or out of church. But Jesus doesn't just leave it there. He asks us to follow him. And that's so much more difficult than just taking up his cross, because to follow Jesus means that we have to go places that we never wanted to go. We have to go places that actually we would maybe prefer to turn our back on and say, do you know what, that's not for me. That wouldn't really see that way of living. Like, that's not what I'd be interested in. And actually, I think it's pretty sinful, and I'm not going to go near that person. But yet Jesus is saying, no, I went to that person. I ate with that person. I invited them in, and I want you to do the same. And that's terrifying. So for me, that might be going out and working with children and telling them that there's a God out there who loves them. For you, it might be crossing the street to speak to someone that you haven't spoken to in 10 years. It might be inviting in a single mom and telling them, do you know what, you're welcome here, or someone who is homeless or doesn't have enough stuff or rubbish that we have, let's be honest, you know, but inviting them in and saying, do you know what, there's a place for you in our church, and there's a place for you in God's family. Neil had I'd been out with him one night at an event, and we were talking about church, and he had told me the blessing of how 3/4 of our congregation are Christians, and that is so amazing, and we should be so thankful for that and how God works and how his spirit has blessed us. But I guess, like, and I said this in Clocky, but I don't know much, but what I do know is 3/4 of the population in Grey Abbey wouldn't classify themselves as Christian, and I guess, like, what are we doing here, you know? And I'm talking about myself as well. Like, it's amazing that 3/4 of us here are Christians, but we need to go out, and so many of us do. But it's an encouragement to keep going out, keep doing. I was driving through Dundonald on Friday on my way home from work, and God just gives you the most wonderful signs in the most peculiar of places. And I was speaking, sort of trying to think about what I was going to say, and I looked like an absolute rocket, to be honest, if anybody's driving by. But as I looked to my left, I just seen in this poster thing, it just said, love is a verb. And I thought, oh, thanks God, that's really handy. But like, how do you want me to utilize that in this? And, you know, it's love equals action. So if we claim to love Jesus and if we claim to love people, we have to do something about it. Yes, come to church, get fed, but then go, leave the church building, like go out onto the streets and sit with the people that Jesus sat with. Because let's face it, we're all sinful. And so it's my prayer that with knowing this and knowing what Jesus has done for us, that we go and tell people about God's love, and that we may go and do whatever it takes to show people God's love. Just in closing, we're going to sing I Will Rise. And as I was singing it in Clocky, it just really made me realise, like, it is a prayer. Like, I will rise when he calls my name. So will you allow it to be the cry of your heart? Like, will you allow yourself to rise and to do what Jesus has asked you to do?
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome. And the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead. And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will
Lord, we just thank you for our opportunity to worship you today and to be together in fellowship. We pray, Lord, that our fellowship would continue after the service as we go around for a cup of tea. Lord, go with us. Be with us. Lord, we thank you for the challenge that we've had today to serve you, for the opportunity to give gifts. And Lord, as we leave here, we pray that we would go filled with your Spirit to do what needs to be done in these days in which we live. And as we go, Lord, we know we go with your blessing. So we ask now for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to rest and remain on each of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.